Bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and a welcome to all of us, especially our visitors. Glad to have you here. A couple weeks ago, actually, maybe it's longer than I thought, I'd said something about preaching on a message that I've been challenged with, the strength, being strong in the Lord. And I don't know if you remember that I announced that or not, but this morning I'd like to look at our strength in the Lord, or how to be strong in the Lord, what it means to be strong in the Lord, and maybe encourage all of us to be more strong, to be stronger in the Lord. This is just a little quiz. I know I asked this. I preached a form of this message at our family reunion a couple weeks ago, so my family may know the answer. But to you others, what is the strongest creature in your mind in comparison with size, what they can carry? You understand what I'm asking? What's the strongest creature in the world that would be, in your mind, would be the strongest, that they could carry weight in comparison to its size? I'm sorry? Ant. That's right. An ant can carry 50 times its weight. That's how much an ant can carry. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you weigh 130 pounds, those that weigh 130 pounds stand. I'm not going to ask that. But do you know that 130-pound person, if he could do that, would be able to carry a half-ton pickup on his shoulder and just pick it up and just start walking? A half-ton pickup. That would mean a Asian elephant could carry almost 4 loaded tractor and trailer loads on his back and just, start walking. That's what an ant does. So are you strong this morning? The other question is, if you are, these people that start lifting weights, their goal is to lift weights. In fact, there's some tremendous people, people that have lifted tremendous weights in Olympics and stuff. I'd like to ask you, did they, the first time they picked up that weight, did they do it the first time? Or did they have to build it up? Did they have to build their strength? So this morning, we all know that answer, I think. They had to start small and build and get stronger. And that's what we would like to do this morning in our Christian life, is to start. We want to be strong, but we have to start. So we have to start exercising strength. And by doing that, we get stronger and stronger if we're faithful in that. Throughout history, God, leaders of churches, of nations, of whether godly or ungodly, have encouraged their people to be strong. I have to think especially of, and I don't have that reference with me, but that time when the children of Israel came out against the Philistines, and it was before the fight of David and Goliath, but the Philistine lords were encouraging their people to be strong and be valiant, to go out and fight against his people. For it may be that their God that they serve, he's the God of the valley, and we're the God of the hills. But even the ungodly people were encouraging their people to be strong, not to give up the fight. Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, I'm not going to turn to these, but Moses was reminding the people to remember the greatness of God and his mighty acts towards the Egyptians, encouraging the people to be strong as they go into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, to fight valiantly. Deuteronomy 31, Moses was encouraging Joshua to be strong as he leads the people to find their strength in the fact that God will be with them. God will go before them. God won't fail them. Joshua 1, God was telling Joshua to be strong as he himself will personally lead him, be with him. God was encouraging Joshua to, above all else, to find his strength in the fact or in the knowledge that God will be with him. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, Hezekiah was encouraging the people when Sennacherib had invaded the land and surrounded the I think it was Jerusalem. He was telling them, be strong, wait on the Lord. Paul, in the New Testament, did the same thing. Today, we are in desperate need of strength. To strengthen the battle fronts, to strengthen this, the commitment that we have towards God himself. We have desperate need of being stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ to meet the battles that we, as we face the battles of life, that we can meet them victoriously. We know that the Godhead, Jesus, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit have won the battle of life. They are victorious. But we are still in this battle today, and we still need strength. We still need to be strong in Jesus Christ. So the question comes again, how strong are you, how strong am I in the Christian life? When we face battles, when we face temptations, when we face struggles, as you faced it this past week, how did you respond? How did you come out? Were you able to be faithful? Were you able to experience victory? When Jesus comes again, will he find us faithful? A couple weeks ago, we had this verse in our Sunday school, Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, that reminds me of Matthew 13, verse 5, where the sower went out to sow the seed of God, and some fell on stony, hard ground, and it sprang up really quick because the ground was nice and warm, but there was no depth there. But it didn't continue to grow because they were discouraged, they were offended, they gave up. How is it with us? If we faint in the day of adversity, the obvious conclusion is thy strength is small. Jeremiah 12, there is an interesting verse in verse 5. Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says, well, let me back up just a little bit. Jeremiah, in the first part of this chapter, verse 1 through 5, was kind of almost complaining to the Lord about his lot in life, the life that he was called to face. He was also kind of complaining about that the righteous or the wicked were prospering and the righteous were kind of pushed back. You know, he was almost complaining that he had a pretty hard row to hoe in his walk with the Lord, in the work that God gave him to do. And then God asked Jeremiah this question in verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Maybe we all need to ask ourselves that question. If we have run with the footmen, if we have just, I mean, in the picture I get is this race that we're in, we're all on the same level. We're all humans. We're all walking and marching. And if we get tired in that, how will we do when we are faced with the horses of life? When the going really gets tough, what are we going to do? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? When the going really gets tough, how are we going to respond? Are we going to be strong enough? Do we have the strength to be victorious today? And if we're struggling today, what are we going to do? When we face persecution. If in this relatively peaceful time we are wearied of being faithful to God and His Word, the direction of His Word, what are we expected to do in times of persecution and severe adversity? You know, if we struggle to forgive somebody when all they did is talked bad about us, if we are offended in that, I say, little area, what are we going to do when there's physical harm, property damage, property taken away from us? How will we do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, I realize that the Christian life is never easy. It's never a walk in the park, as it were. And yet, is it Hebrews, where it says that we have not resisted unto blood? Where is that verse found? Anyone know? Hebrews 12? Thank you. It says that we have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, it hasn't cost us our life. And yet we are still kind of struggling along because we're faint. We're faint-hearted. What are we going to do when it actually does cost us our life? Luke 16, verse 10 says, Jesus Christ speaking, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust or unfaithful in the least is unjust or unfaithful in much." You know, as humans, we love to think that we would be victorious. We would stand true and tall when, as we think of the three Hebrew boys, when the all the music was played and they were supposed to fall down and worship this idol, and they stood true and straight. We love to think that we would be one of those three. But I'm going to say this morning that if we don't stand this morning in this relatively peaceful time, we will not stand when that happens. When the big trials and tests come our way, we will fall flat because we have not been faithful in the little things of life. How strong are we this morning? You know, one thing I thought of, I heard a couple of stories just recently about two different men, that had a property line dispute with their neighbors. Some of you may have read the one. It was in the Beside the Still Waters, I think, yesterday morning. But I'll just give a brief. Said, years ago, Moses was confronted by his disgruntled neighbor who told Moses that the line fence was 15 feet on the neighbor's side of the property line. So the neighbor wanted to move the property line 15 feet into Moses' property. So the story went that, not one to argue, Moses suggested to move the fence to where the neighbor insisted that it should be, plus one more foot. In other words, let's go, instead of 15 feet, let's go 16. That way it's for sure that the property line is where it needs to be, where you think it needs to be. Later, the testimony of the neighbor was, it is impossible to pick a fight with Moses. Now that was one story. The other story is about Elam, who also had a line fence dispute with his neighbor. The neighbor came over one day and argued the fact that the fence was not where it needs to be. It was 4 foot. Well, they didn't know how far. It was not where it needed to be. It needed to be moved. And it needed, if I could kind of a hubbub here. So in the course of time, Elam had a surveyor out for something different. So he decided to get the surveyor to survey the property line. And discovered, in fact, that the property line was in the wrong place. But it wasn't where the neighbor said it was. It was where it was 4 feet on Elam's property side. No, yeah, giving the neighbor 4 foot more. The neighbor was unwilling to budge. And finally, Elam wanted to put the fence where the line fence needed to be to make it right, which I can understand. But the neighbor wouldn't budge. He said the line stays there. So finally, in reluctance, the Elam consented to leave it where it is. Now, I am not here to judge Elam's response. I don't know how I would respond. I would want to be a Moses, but I probably would end up being a Elam, would be my guess. I don't know, at least in my heart of hearts. But according to Elam's testimony, the relationship is still strained between the two, the neighbor and him. My question is, which of the two men's responses, Moses or Elam, do you think brought the most glory to God? The most glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I don't want to paint Elam as a bad man. I don't think I know him personally. But I do know that looking at Scripture and following the example of the Lord Jesus, I would venture to say that Moses' response was more godly. Can I say it that way? The world would say to be strong, you need to stand up for your rights. You need to claw and push and shove your way to the top. Because that's the goal and the way of their father, Satan. Power. Power over people would be the world's recipe for strength. Satan himself wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to claw his way to the top as well. God wouldn't have it. Let's look at Jesus Christ's example. And I just read this a week or two ago. This was written by Malin Zare. For those of you that are familiar with the Trailhead, I haven't got it, but I did subscribe to it. But this article was written by Malin Zare in the Trailhead. And he made this statement. He said, E. Stanley Jones's comments in The Christ of the Mount regarding what he calls the most formidable being on earth, the terrible meek. They are terrible in they want nothing and hence cannot be tempted or bought. And in that they are willing to go to any length for others because they feel so deeply. Christ standing before Pilate is a picture of the terrible meek. He could not be bought or bullied, for he wanted nothing. Do you ever think about that? Everything you have is at the neighbor's disposal. Everything you have is held loosely like this. And when somebody takes it, it's okay. It's not mine. They took it from God. You know, we like to say that, and yet in our heart of hearts, it's still mine, right? We just get this idea that he did something wrong. But when you give everything that you have nothing. What can they take? Even if they take your life, you're living it for God. And they take your life. There's nothing more to give. They can't take it because you have already given it. And I'm not saying that I am there. I am far from there. But that's Jesus Christ was there. He gave up everything for the cause of Christ, for the cause of God. Christ Jesus standing before Pilate is a picture of the terrible meek. He could not be bought or bullied, for he wanted nothing, nothing except to give his life for the very men who were crucifying him. And here is supreme strength. It possesses itself, hence possesses the earth. The world will not be conquered by strong men and the will to power. It will be healed by the meek men, man who says, not my will, but thine be done. It is that terrible, relentless, patient power of the meek that heals the world because it conquers self. I was so challenged with the thought that, you know, when we give everything to God, it doesn't really matter anymore what happens, because we have given it up. and people can't take it because we have already given it. Humility and peacefulness. How do we stack up with that thought in the daily grind of life? Are we willing? Are we able to give it up for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. We'll read the first 19 verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here, I'd like to just notice some of the pointers in here as far as strength, the how to be strong. In Paul's encouragement to Timothy, there's about at least 11 that I have found, and there's probably more. But I'd like to at least notice 11 of them. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So, if you want to be strong, find your strength in Christ Jesus. You know, it again, when we give everything to Christ, it doesn't matter what happens to us, right? Is that true? Would you agree with that? Okay. See some head nodding. So let's find our strength in Christ Jesus. When he lives in us, then we are dead and Christ Jesus lives in us. The German would give the thought that it's to be strong through the grace of Jesus Christ, recognizing that it is the battle is way more than we can handle. Allow God to fight his battles. You know, when the children of Israel went out, I don't remember which battle it was, but when they went out to battle, remember the time that God sent out hornets? You remember that time? the story? I haven't read that story in a long time. I'd like to read it again. But when they went out to battle, they never even had to fight because God sent his hornets out after the enemy. And it was just buzzing all around them. Just, I don't know what happened. That's what God wants to do for you today. Allow God to fight the battle of life. You follow him. Find your strength in Christ Jesus. Trust him to work things out. You know, let's remember that if God is absent, the battle is lost already. The battle is lost before we even start. Number two, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, I don't know what you think of this verse, but I see humility in here. Being willing to take advice, being willing to take direction from others. This morning, somebody made the statement that so often when we receive rebuke, it's because we reject it because it's not wrapped in a nice glowing package. It's not, doesn't have a bow tie on top. It's kind of dirty. It's just not ideal. Allow God to. Where am I at? To teach you and me. Learn from others. Be willing to learn from others. You know, a person that has all the answers can't receive help. Have you ever tried to tell somebody how to do something and all he says is, well, I know to do that. I know. And you know he doesn't know. And you're trying to grab his attention and get him. And all he says is, I know how to do it. Don't tell me anything. The man can't learn. And we sometimes do that. A person that has all the answers cannot be helped. Because he has, in his own mind, learned all there is to learn. Maybe he even thinks that he understands it better than anybody else. In all aspects, he is closed to any input from anybody else. You know, a person that is closed to the thoughts of others, to the help of others, to advice of others, will continue to do the things he's doing and getting the same results day after day. He will. Are we satisfied this morning in our life? Are we satisfied with the things that we're receiving, the things that are happening to us, the things that we are doing? Are we satisfied with that? Or is it discouraging because we're always, you know, we fail to fight the battle with self. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Don't give up when the battle gets tough. Yeah, I remember years ago there was a bumper sticker going around that said, when the going gets tough, the tough go to Jesus. And I don't know if you remember that one or you've seen that or not, but, you know, as the battle gets tougher, as the battle gets harder, can we again allow Jesus Christ to fight that battle? That therein is great, great strength. And again, it's not the strength that we have, but it's the strength that God gives us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Remember, we must start being strong. We must start building strength before we can continue to be strong. The one who finishes the race is the one who wins the prize. It's not the one that, you know, starts in like a rabbit and runs and runs and runs, and then pretty soon he's so tired he can't go on. The other thing in here that I see is verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I don't know how you find it, brethren, especially brethren, but I wonder sometimes if we're so overly involved in our affairs of this world, in our business life, that we lose sight of our calling to be a faithful soldier in Jesus Christ. It's something that I really have been convicted on, because right now we're so busy. I don't know what to do. I mean, we are so busy. And I don't like it, because you get up early and work late, and you hardly have time for the Lord. Where are we at in our life as far as our warring or entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life? Can we please God and still be entangled in the affairs of life? I don't think so. Verse 6. "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits." Point in being strong is to be partaker of the fruit, to be an example of the believers, to walk the walk and talk the walk. You know, we can easy walk the talk. No, excuse me. We can easy talk the walk. But it's hard to walk the talk. You understand? It's easy to have good words. It's easy to say what really should be done, but it's extremely hard to put that in shoe leather, to walk the walk. Read the Word. Receive instruction from the Word, allowing the Word to change us, to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus, to mold us into the very image of Christ Jesus our Lord, and then be willing to tell others also. You know, it's nigh to impossible to tell others how to live victoriously if we are living a defeated life ourselves. So again, walk the talk and talk the walk. Tell others about Christ. Number 6, verses 8 through 9. "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Live the life of power in the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to Paul's gospel. He is alive forevermore. May we live our life. You know, our living Savior, again, I cannot stress this enough. Our living Savior, Jesus Christ, helps us fight our battles. And we can take courage and strength from that, because it's the strength of Jesus Christ flowing into our lives to help us be victorious, to be strong. These people that were Hebrews 11 talks about, these people that were sawn asunder, they were thrown into pits, the list could go on. Do you think that they could do that without the help of Jesus Christ in their life, their Holy Spirit in their life? No. They were human beings, but they found their grace and their strength in Jesus Christ. There is the strength that we need. Take courage that Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand interceding for his children. Let's remember, the victory is won already. It's just up to us to be part of that victory. You know, and the other thought is the Word of God is not bound. May we remember that we have in our hands the most powerful cleansing agent, the most powerful agent right here, the Word of God. We cannot fight evil with politics. It will not work. That has been proven time and time and time again. The only thing that can change hearts and lives is the gospel of Jesus Christ, working, breaking, cleaning, renewing men's heart. Remember, the Word of God is not bound, has not lost its power, nor ever will be. Allow it to work in our lives, making us new creatures. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain salvation in Christ Jesus. Goes along with verse 6, being an example. How many of you have been encouraged as you look at brethren or sisters in their response to life, in their response to the trials that they face, that they, when they were victorious, when they were able to come, to be victorious, that it gave you a boost in your in the way that you face life. I have done that many a times, that I have looked at brethren and it gave me courage to go on, to try again. And that would be a strength in our life, is if we can realize that our example, as we meet trials, as we face life, that that others, as they look at us, they can receive strength as well in seeing our faithful response to Jesus Christ and to the trials that we face. The same is true if we throw in the towel and give up. We're also an example in that area. May we endure all things for the elect's sake. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. A true test of strength is to die to self, denying the flesh. Romans 6 says that we are to be crucified with Christ unto death, and we can rise and live in newness of life in the power of the resurrected Christ. We cannot expect to live in the flesh and receive strength from the Lord Jesus. We need to die to self. That is very clear in the scriptures. The ninth point is in verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. This is as a warning that truth is not dependent whether we choose to believe it or not. In other words, the saying, God has said it, that settles it, and I believe it. That's the way it should be. Most people say it, God has said it, I believe it, that settles it. You understand? There's a difference. When we say that God has said it, and that settles it, and I believe it. We have then accepted the truth in the Scriptures as the ultimate. But if we say it the other way, and we say God has said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Have I said that wrong? Right? Boy, I'm just going to have to leave that one because I lost my thought there completely. At the end of the day, truth will be truth regardless how man relates to it, whether he denies it or accepts it, whether he rejects it or makes it a part of his life. Truth will still be truth. So the truth in the Scripture is still what will give us strength at the end of the day. Number 10, verse 14 through 18. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of who these two men were mentioned, who concerning the truth have erred in saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Be careful of the words that come out of your mouth. You know, this would go right along with our devotional this morning about gossip. The words we say, we can make or break our own Christian life or someone else's life, depending what we say. Matthew 12, verse 37 says, this is the words of Jesus, "For that by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So let's be careful what we say. Study to show. Study to exhibit ourselves approved unto God. At the end of the day, we do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him our strength. And the last one, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." A source of strength is knowing the fact that Christ Jesus knows his children by name. So may we live a life of holiness as we serve a holy Savior. Ephesians 6:10 through 11, in closing. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." May we find Christ Jesus our strength and source of power to live victoriously. Let's kneel for prayer.